Because some of that baggage we carry into new relationships from previous relationships that we've experienced, and it can be from the earliest ages of childhood. Mm-hmm. Okay? So as you're just picture yourself being a young child with a small suitcase, and you begin to put things in there, memories, thoughts, hurts, pains, and eventually you gotta upgrade from a smaller suitcase to a bigger one. Sometimes you're carrying two or three around, and you need help carrying all the baggage that you got. So I'm thinking, okay, now the baggage that I carry, when I carry stuff into a relationship, how is that going to affect the person that I'm with? Okay? And now you don't want to come out and say, get to the door and be like, honey, I'm here. I got hate in my bag. I got resentment in my bag. I got anger in there too. I just want you to know, by the way. I can be violent at times. My words can be very, very offensive. I just want you to, nobody brings that to the door.
No.
They just bring their baggage and they walk on in. And little by little, with time, things will start to come out. They'll start to reveal themselves and they'll start to show themselves. People might say, rear its ugly head. And it's a small, gradual process. You know, so these are just things that I like to look at myself. Okay, things that I've experienced. And when I think about those things, I write them down. This is all I wrote down. This is the only notes I've taken for tonight. So it's three words. You know, so it's amazing to me how sometimes out of three words, it can spark a whole lot of thought and a remembrance of what I used to do to where I'm at. Because now I've laid out my baggage. And I want to... Do I need that? Have you ever gone through your baggage or you've gone through your closet and say, well, I don't need that anymore. Well, that doesn't fit. I don't need that. I'm going to throw that out. The same kind of principles and concept can apply to your life when it comes to things that are not working for you. We got to say, look at it. Say, hey, I don't need that. You know, maybe I should get rid of that. But sometimes it's difficult. Like, what do I do with it? Maybe I can give it away. I don't want to give away any anger. I don't want to give away any hate to anybody. You know, maybe I should donate it. These are just things that I think about if I was going through my own, how they say, cleaning out my dirty laundry, getting stuff, working on stuff. And it's a process. It can, like I said, it can be difficult to get rid of something that you've had for a while. And I'm not going to say that we valued it, because some of the anger that I had, I didn't find value in that. You know, it didn't benefit me in any way. So, I mean, I mean, I tried to get rid of it, or sometimes I even ask myself, why can't I get rid of this? Why can't I get rid of it? Why is it so hard to let go? Why am I still this way? Why do I want to keep holding on to that? And then you start to believe it's always going to be this way. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to change that. You know, and like I said, it takes one thing at a time. And then looking at the one item that you want to work on, and if you look at it at that sense. And so those were the three words that I got, and the last one was wait. You know, have you ever heard people say, you know, hey, man, I just feel heavy, man. Like I'm just carrying all this weight, and it's pressure of life, pressure of the workforce, pressure at home with the wife and kids. It's heaviness, and it's like sometimes, you know, I have heard men say, man, I hate to go home. Because they know what they have to face there, and it's easier to stay away than to walk to the door and face, you know, whatever the circumstances may be in the home. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're challenging. They're challenging. We walk into difficult situations where we want to work on some things. We want to work on our family. Family's important. You know, how we treat our loved ones, it's important. How we communicate with them, it's very, very important. And, you know, I didn't realize these things. And, you know, I mean, I knew that family was important. When you're living a lifestyle of me, 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 and you only care about yourself, 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 and you don't care who gets hurt along the way, you can walk through a door where everybody's going through whatever they're going through and act like you don't care. And so, you know, I had to realize the importance of my words, my communication, the way I treat people, and it's just not just, it's everybody in my, everybody that I make contact with in my daily life. You know, I can say stuff, I mean, in the past I could pass a judgment on people. I look at that person, why are they doing this, and why are they doing that? So I'm feeding all these negative thoughts all this stuff about that I see in people, calling out their faults, calling out their wrongs. And at the same time, I'm like, now I'm really looking at this guy, this man, looking at my faults, looking at my what I feel that needs to change in my life. And sometimes it takes other people to tell us, hey, hold on a second, I heard you say something. And that's if it's somebody that's close enough to you that you'll be willing to hear what they have to say. Say, hey, I heard you say something. I think, you know, you might want to think about what you just said. You know, and sometimes now for me today, I'm okay with that, with somebody stopping me. And sometimes even people that I've asked, you know, recently, you know, how do you feel about me, or how do you feel that I treat people? You know, and I had a guy say something to me like, well, you know, sometimes I feel like you pick on certain individuals. And I said, okay, well, thank you for sharing that with me. So it made me visualize, well, what is he saying? What is he doing? And I even asked him for an example. You know, and he gave it to me, and he told me, well, and he was using himself, because he said that he felt like I picked on him because, you know, I'm in charge of a line of people, and sometimes people wander off. They start talking, and they neglect their job, and, you know, have to come in and say something. And this is the thing I've always said. I don't care how much you talk. Talk all you want. Get your job done. Make sure you're sending out a quality product. You're not sending trash down the line. You can talk all you want. Just don't be on your phones. When I catch you, and that's what I told him, so I catch you playing video games or Candy Crush, you don't get paid for that. You know? But talking about all that weight that we carry, we can carry that all day long, day and night. We can go to sleep with it, and it will lay there. We can take all that thought, all that weight to bed with us every night. And even if you're married or you're in a relationship, and your significant other, your boyfriend, your girlfriend says, what's going on? And you said, nothing. I know I'm guilty of it. Guilty of it, you know? And sometimes we just don't want to talk about it. We don't want to approach it. You might even roll over and show them the back because you just don't want to talk about it, you know? And sometimes, I don't know why that is, but it seems like at night, before bed, people want to talk, you know?
I just want to sleep.
Right? But, you know, sometimes for myself, I want to recognize that and value that. If that's the time that we want to talk, yeah, it'd be great to talk earlier in the day, say, you know, but, you know, sometimes I want to give that time, you know, because I wasn't always that way. You know, if my wife wants to talk to me and she wants to know how my day was, you know, I'm going to share it. You know, if it keeps me up a few minutes longer, I can remember all the days that I stayed up all night long out there partying and kicking and didn't care. So if my wife wants to talk to me, I'm going to give her 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes an hour, whatever she wants, until she's finished. And that's just where I'm at now, because I've learned to value different things when I reflect back on old things that used to happen or I used to think. So scars, baggage, and weight.
Those scars, about 10, 15 years ago, the world of tattoos really took over. And I was always curious why. And so some articles came out, and I began to read them, talking about scars. And what they said in them, like a young lady, maybe that's pregnant, and her boyfriend or whatever ran off, didn't want to take any responsibility. And she'd be at the hospital alone, so she'd get a tattoo in remembrance. But she went through a divorce, or he went through a divorce. So I thought it was interesting that in a major crisis in their life, if nobody was there, that they got the tattoo as a remembrance. Because nobody was there, so they dealt with loneliness, they dealt with rejection, and all those things. And so their idea that tattoo was some type of connection to that event, whether it's having the baby or some major event. So I think it's interesting where the scars came in and why, and again, we're trying to cope somewhere with it.
Yeah, and even having a tattoo, a lot of people will ask you, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, what is that? You know, and then some people...
There has to be a meaning.
It symbolizes something, an event. You know, exactly. It symbolizes an event. So tonight we're going to talk about relationships, types of relationships. I'm going to read some small stuff, and I'll probably talk a little bit about some of the stuff that we read. But there's types of relationships. Relationships are the connections that exist between you and other people. Okay, they can be casual or they can be personal. Casual relationships are like we have here, you know, at work, at the work site, the job site. Those are casual relationships. We're in communication with people on a daily basis. We spend the majority of our times at work throughout our day, 8 to 9, 10 hours a day. So those are some, we'll develop relationships with people at work. So casual relationships develop over time when you come into contact with a person on a regular basis. So you may work or ride the bus with somebody or have children at the same school, but personal relationships are deeper and they're stronger. You know, so these are your friends, your family, your spouse, or your partner. Relationships touch every area of your life, your education, your work, your spirituality, your finances and health. Building strong relationships with people who support your change efforts will help you be successful at leading a productive and responsible life. I've talked a little bit about this. We've talked about it. It's talking about who we find ourselves around. Okay, so, you know, you heard the saying, show me who your friends are, I'll tell you who you are. You know, also, for myself, I had to change who I hung out with. I started hanging around with people that had positive influence, positive, you know, input, and I was seeking some positive feedback too. So there was some stuff that I was dumping out, trying to get some type of information or just something that was going to give me some direction, because I was living a life that had no direction, none whatsoever. You know, so I was just hurting me, just wandering around. So that's what I get out of that. So, you just want to put yourself in situations with different people, and you might ask, well, how do I do that? Mm-hmm. You know, how do I hang around with different people? Well, I'm going to tell you this. I found myself by myself for a long, long time because everybody that I knew was not doing good things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I connected with some people. Most of you guys know I go to church and I fellowship with some people. So those were the people that had come into my life and mm-hmm. had a big influence in my life and where I'm at today and where I go today. So we're going to talk a little bit more about unhealthy relationships versus healthy relationships. Mm-hmm. So unhealthy and healthy. Mm-hmm. So the quality of your relationships, how many of you believe this? The quality of your relationships depends on what you put into it.
Yep.
You want to put a little bit into it, or you want to dump it all? It's an investment.
Yeah.
You know, what you put into your relationship, what you bring into it. You know, and we're going to stick with unhealthy first. Mm-hmm. You know, so unhealthy relationships are based on manipulation and control, resentment, insecurity, and fear. It's unhealthy. Mm-hmm. When you're manipulating somebody, you're controlling that person, there's resentment in that relationship, there's insecurity. What is insecurity? When you're insecure about your wife or your boyfriend leaving out that door, you're insecure as soon as their phone rings and you're like, who's on the phone? Who just called you? Mm-hmm. Who's texting you at this time? That's an insecurity.
Hell yeah.
You know, so it's saying that there's no trust there. Mm-hmm. I don't trust you for some reason. And then sometimes some people will say, well, you've given me reason not to trust you because you've done these things in the past and I can't trust you. It's unhealthy. I'm not saying that it can't change and it can't be fixed, because it can.
Or it's the previous relationship that was unhealthy.
Baggage.
And the one that's even now is healthy, but you're destroying it because you're surmising all this stuff that's going on. Mm-hmm. Versus, that's why I tell you, you got to deal with facts. What are the facts? Not what's in your head, not what you think's going on, but what are the true facts of what may be going on. Because some of it's not true. So it's just something I'm going through right now.
And so if you're a passive person, you're not going to ask those questions. You're going to hold on to it. You might sneak around and pick the phone up when he's in the bathroom, or ask him why he's taking the phone to the bathroom. Or, you know, just, you know, that's somebody who's passive. They're kind of sneaky. Mm-hmm. And they start to, you know, search and, well, why do you got a lock on your phone? What's your password?
Yeah, what's the code?
Yeah, some people can relate, huh? I see everybody moving around over there. Trust me, I know, because I've been there. I was insecure. You know, I can speak on stuff that I've experienced and share with you guys, and And I know that we all relate because we've been there. So, you know, in unhealthy relationships, conflicts are not resolved. Responsibilities are not shared, and feelings are not expressed. That's an unhealthy relationship. I mean, there's a way to unhealthy, I mean, an unhealthy way to express yourself in a relationship. Oh, yeah. Through profanities, mm-hmm. through put-downs. That's unhealthy communication. So unhealthy relationships are marked by secrecy. This is unhealthy relationships that are marked by secrecy, by shame, by uncaring, lying, unhappiness, and abuse. The relationship will remain unhealthy unless both people change what they put into it. They need to learn to improve their communication and set boundaries. So unhealthy relationships has dishonesty, secrecy, disrespect, insecurities, inconsistencies, selfishness, and distrust. Well, how do we recognize those things about ourselves? You know, I mean, you might ask yourself, why am I that way? Or, you know, you might even hear it from the person that you're with and see, why don't you trust me? You know, I don't have, what have I done to, you know, I love you, I'm here for you, I won't cheat on you, I don't lie to you. Well, I don't believe that. I don't know you. I don't know what you've done. Those are things that, you know, I've said in the past. And, you know, I've even been going as far as being jealous man and saying something like, I don't think that's my kid. And I said, that's your baby. And I said, no, I think you were messing around with the guy that looked just like me. You know? Those are just some crazy things that I used to say, you know, insecurities, just being like, you know, trying to brush things off. Hadn't always been that, you know, I've experienced some things. So we get on over to healthy relationships. And this is a lot of stuff that, you know, we don't really use on a daily basis, because everything that we've learned, as far as unhealthy relationships, have been learned behavior somewhere along the line. Mm-hmm. Something that we've seen, yeah. Something that we hear. And I'll tell you where you hear a lot of unhealthy stuff is on the radio, mm-hmm. and the music that you pump into your mind and the way that it treats women. Mm-hmm. Because it's degrading to them, it puts them down. And I mean, I know I wouldn't want to listen to that type of music in front of my young daughter that disrespects her and makes her feel like she's beneath somebody, and she's, you know, all the words that they say in that music, I'm sure you guys know. So, healthy relationships. I'll go down this little block. You see the blocks are aligned. Talks about honesty. Okay? Honesty. Being honest in everything that we do. And you know, honesty sometimes can be difficult. It's because honesty can hurt people also. When you share something from your past, or you did something that was unhealthy, that you did something that was dishonest, something that was secretive. Now you gotta be honest and say and tell somebody something that you know that's gonna hurt. So you wanna go, sometimes you wanna go back to this unhealthy relationship and start lying to cover up something that you did. So this is just one block here. We're talking about honesty. And man, do I really wanna let that out? I don't wanna fight with her. I don't wanna fight with him. Maybe I'll just keep it a secret for a while. He or she will never find out.
But they do find out.
People find out.
Yeah.
What you do in darkness will always come to life. So, being open. You know, being open. I mean, it's just being, when I say being open, it's like being open to communication. Being open to, you know, hey, how are you? And being like they ask you, you know, hey, something's going on, you want to talk? And you're like, no. That's not being open. You're closed. I don't want to talk right now. You know, and you know, a healthy way to say, hey, you know, I went through some things today. You know, I don't want to ignore you. I'd like to talk about it, but, you know, I need a little bit of time to process, you know, what's happened throughout the day. But I don't want you to feel neglected or like I'm ignoring you. You know, you want to be considerate. If it's somebody that you love, you know, you want to be considerate of their feelings, what they think, their emotions. And you know, for men, you know, we're not wired to be these big emotional beings, you know, and some women, you know, they're created that way. They got a lot of emotion, feeling, thought, and, you know, guys, for some reason, they're growing up and taught, you know, hey, you don't cry, men don't cry, and you're tough, and, you know, men don't really share their feelings with people, and, you know, it's just like, that's not a healthy way. These are things that we were taught by somebody, you know, growing up, and we can change those things. So being respectful. I mean, I was a disrespectful man, very, very disrespectful. You know, I had no respect, especially for myself. So when I didn't have respect for myself, and I didn't have respect for people around me. So respect for me now today is watching how I talk to people. I'm not cursing off the mouth to everybody anymore. You know, I'm not letting profanities fly out my mouth. You know, the F word, the B words. I'm not doing that anymore. You know, I've learned to change my communication because it's a lot more respectful. Right. I know I wouldn't go into court. I know somebody's going to court here pretty soon, and I wouldn't start throwing off all them words in front of the judge because you know that you got to be respectful in there. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, they're going to 30 days in jail.
We're lucky.
But, you know, being respectful starts in all aspects of your life. You know, everywhere you go, I mean, I'm sure you're not talking to your mom like that. I mean, some people may, because I know people who talk to their parents that way. That's just the relationships that they have. But, you know, there's some people, I wouldn't, if I just met your mom, I wouldn't go talk to your mom like that. You know, if I just met your dad, I wouldn't go, you know, being disrespectful, saying all kinds of different crazy words. And you know, somebody might even hit you and be like, hey, watch your mouth. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, there's kids around here. There's, you know, be respectful. You know, so healthy relationships have security. There's consistency. What is consistency? It's when you're consistent in things that you say that you're going to do. You know, following through with things. Saying, hey, we're going to spend some time together on this day. We're going to go out together. Let's be consistent in that and try to make that happen. You know, being consistent and showing up, being on time, helping out. You know, it's just, and that also falls in the same category as caring. You know, caring. I care about how you feel. I care about what you think. You know, when somebody's expressing something to you, you can say those harsh words, and I don't care. I don't care about that. You know, because we go back over here to this unhealthy part about being selfish. That's being selfish when you're saying that you don't care about what the person that you say you love, that you're in a relationship with, you say, I don't got time for that right now. You don't care. Trustful. Trust is earned. Trust can be given away, can be lost. Trust can also be rebuilt. You know, it takes time. It seems like it's a much longer process of rebuilding trust when it's lost. You know, it's hard because especially if it's somebody that you love and somebody that you've hurt, then you got to go back to being consistent. Mm-hmm. When you've lost trust, be consistent in what you're doing. Be there, be on time. Communicate, and sometimes you may even have to answer all the questions because of all the mistrust. Where were you? Where have you been? Why didn't you answer your phone?
Openness with that cell
phone. Yeah. Phones are a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, people get on there and they do all kinds of crazy stuff. They open up Snapchats, they open up Instagrams, and they start accepting all these friends, and then all these girls start giving you a little heart, and like, what's up with that? You know what I mean? It's just...
not good.
So healthy relationships. I'll go ahead and read what it talks about here. It says, so if you and another person put in positive, responsible values, attitudes, and behaviors, you have an opportunity to enjoy a healthy relationship. A good, effective communication completes the process. Good. How many can say they got good, effective communication? I mean, I don't want. I mean, I try. I try to have good, effective communication. I don't got it mastered. Mm-hmm. I don't got it perfect. But I've learned now. I'm like, oh man, I need to really think about what I'm about to say, without sounding rude, without sounding inconsiderate, you know, without sounding selfish or mean. You know, and you know, it's learned. Everything is learning, retraining. It's a retraining process, you know, like he's talking about the baggage and our stuff that we can keep in our closets. We can get rid of it. Do you want to get rid of it? Or do you want to keep using it over and over again? Because it can be You know, it's unhealthy to hold on to things that are not good. Like, you know, we want to have that good, effective communication. It will complete a process. Right. You know, talking, even what do they call it, pillow talk at night, when you're just talking with your spouse, or healthy relationships. This is another good one, okay? I don't know how many of you guys do this at home, if you have your own homes, but how many of you guys actually eat dinner at the table without the TV on and talk? That's good. It's healthy. It's healthy. Because you take time, you're taking time for each other, you know, hey, how was your day? I mean, you're not gonna just sit there and not talk. I mean, we try to talk, you know, we try to communicate. Yeah, but
don't hear.
give me some more. So each person shares responsibility. Each person. Not one person, but each of us. We all share a responsibility for the health and the maintenance of the relationship, and is willing to provide honest feedback to the other. Honest feedback. Yeah, I just asked the guy at work, who was asking him for some feedback. Mm-hmm. I wanted him to be honest. Now, we can do that at home, but just be prepared. Be prepared. Yep. You're really asking for some honest feedback, and you really want to know how he or she really feels, and you feel that you're at a place in your life that you can accept those words, then ask. But if you're not ready to hear what you think that you might not want to hear, it can be difficult words to hear.
But you may hear it even though you don't want to hear it.
You may
but
hear
at
it.
The same time, you've got to think about, is this true? Am I really behaving that way? Am I treating them that way? Am I talking to them that way? Because you may not think you are, but at least their concept is, yeah, you are.
When they say questions like, why do you always do that? Why do you always say that? Why do you always act like that when we're around these people? Why do you always act like that when you're around your friends? You know?
Or you talk to your friends all the time, you got nothing to say.
Right? I know, because I was that guy. I was the guy that acted different when I was around my friends, and I was like, I didn't care about my girl. You know, I was like, I was with my buddies, man, you know? And you know, give me another beer or something crazy like that, you know. But you know, we each share that responsibility.
Yep.
You know, so if you're in a healthy relationship, you can resolve conflicts. If you're in a healthy relationship, you can resolve those conflicts. If you're in a healthy relationship, you can take risks. If you're in a healthy relationship, you can make mistakes and express your feelings. If you're in a healthy relationship, it's, hey, I messed up today, I'm sorry, this is what I did, you know, I'm trying to work on this, and you're communicating that, you know, and sometimes there's some feedback there. It's like, okay, hey, I understand, you know, what can we do to work through this, what can we change, what can we try to fix together, you know, it's, like I said, everything is learned. I mean, I spent most of my life, I mean, I just got this little paper here on this little notebook here that, well, it fell off, but I got almost right here. It has my name on it, and it says the facility that I was in on July 13th of 2015. I was in prison when I got that. That's 2015. That's not too many years ago. You know, so I didn't come out of prison. I didn't even read these things in there. This stuff that I'm reading right now, I didn't read them and I didn't use them. They gave them to me and I threw them in a box because I didn't want to use them. You know, so I mean, I didn't come here. Like, I didn't come from some, you know, I didn't go to school to get educated in this. I got educated in the street. I got educated through life experiences. Yeah. If I feel like I'm comfortable enough to come in here and sit down and share with you some difficulties that I went through and let you know the change is possible.
Yeah.
It's possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, I got all these books. I just didn't read them. You know, I was actually going through, I was looking for my resume, and I happened to come across these books, and I was like, wow. You know, I'm like, so now I see some stuff in here. I'm like, I'm going to share these with you guys. And, you know, they're good. I'm just like, man. But one of the hardest things that I realized is they also ask questions. You know, and one of them was describe one healthy relationship you have experienced. I'm like, wow, man, a healthy relationship? What is that? What is a healthy relationship? I'm in prison. You know, every relationship that I had was with a drug addict. Somebody who was high, somebody who was drinking, or somebody who had all their own problems. You know, and I got my own problems, and we got a whole bunch of problems combined. You know, so I'm like, the last thing you want to do when you're sitting in prison in a cell for 23 hours a day is start thinking about all this stuff. You know, I'm like, man, this is the last place I want to start thinking about all that. I don't want to read this. But they told me if I didn't do this stuff, then I wouldn't get out of the hole. And I'd have to sit there, and they called programming. You have to program. I'm like, okay, well, I'll just do what I can. And I think there was some other books that I had just to get by, just to get make it out of there. So good relationships can foster mutual sharing and support, as well as the personal growth of each individual. So I mean, if we're in relationships with, you know, someone we love, we can practice communication. You know, just coming home from work and asking, how was your day? Is there anything that I can help you with? Yeah, I know you're tired. We're all tired. I come home from work, I'm tired. Well, I realized, you know, me being tired and me being in my own apartment and living by myself, I've learned some things in there. And I'll share one of my personal things that I learned. Somebody asked me about it the other day. I was talking to this lady at work, and she's telling me how she comes home from work, has to cook and clean, or her husband won't even wash the dishes, and he's laid off right now, and then he wants her to come home and wash the dishes, cook, and then dirty the dishes again. And so I'm like, I learned something in this. I gotta come to work all day, and I gotta come home, and I gotta stand in front of my stove to cook for myself to feed me. And there's days I look at it like, man, I don't want to do that. So I can imagine what a single parent, mother or father, with all that responsibility, going to work, coming home, standing in front of the stove, cooking for all the kids, serving them, washing all the dishes. I'll tell you, I have a deeper appreciation for that aspect of a relationship. So like I'm saying, if you come home and there's something that you can help out with, instead of just go kick back on the sofa, flip the TV on, pick up your PlayStation 4 remote, your Xbox, and start playing. You know, maybe we might want to ask, you know, hey, I'm in a relationship with you. I care about you. I want to do my part. I want to help. And I'm not saying that, you know, I mean, I had the mentality that me being a man, that was my job to come home and kick back, drink a beer, watch the game, and let my wife do everything around the house while I, you know, I worked. What do you mean? I live here. I pay the bills here. You know, that's your job. I'm not like that anymore. I want to be a part of this relationship. I want to contribute to it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I want to help. I want to provide. I want to communicate. You know, I don't care what it is. I'll wash the dishes. If you want to cook, I'll wash. I'll cook. You want to wash? We can wash dishes together. Here, I'll wash you rinse.
When I've had young couples come to me that say, both of us are going to have to get a job because it's some way we can make it financially, especially if it's minimum wage and stuff, I understand that. But I tell them, everything's going to change in your home now, because she won't be able to do what she used to be. Because now she's going to be, let's say, a half hour work, half hour home, 8 hours on the job. So she's going to be away from the home 9 hours. So I look at the man and say, so what are you going to do? How are you going to help out? Where will you contribute in this? Will you help do dishes? Will you cook? Will you fold laundry? What will you do? Because it's unrealistic to put all that pressure on her. And it won't last. She'll blow up. So again, just realizing, okay, if we're going to do this, what adjustments do we have to make? And again, they have to sit down and talk that out and work that out.
Communication.
Yeah, but realistically, you got to realize this is going to change the whole dynamics of our house so we can survive. So sometimes it has to be, but if I have the concept, nothing's going to change, but you're going to get a job, I'm going to be in trouble.
Yeah. Is this stuff making sense?
Yes.
Does it make sense to some of us? It does to me. You know, some of the stuff I'm going to use on another time to make up the other things. So what we're also going to look at is healthy family relationships. You know, so... for some people and families, and not everybody's had this type of family, but it's got this little caption here that I'm going to read. It says, in my family, if you had a problem, you brought it up and talked it out between mom, dad. And see, a lot of us didn't have that growing up. We didn't have a mom. We didn't have a dad. We didn't have those kind of things. We didn't sit down as a family. And we didn't talk about those things. So, but see, I'm understanding that there's some people that have had that. They've had that structure, they've had that family unit. You know, so this says, you know, they've talked it out between mom, dad, and two brothers, two sisters, or whatever the situation may be. So you can be sure there were plenty of arguments, but never any grudges. You know, so at the end of the day, we were still a family. Okay, that's like, for me, I was like, man, I never had that. It didn't make any sense to me. You know, I'm like, my mom was in the bathroom getting high, and my dad was doing whatever he was doing in the street. I was in foster homes. It's like, I don't know what that looked like. And so growing up, I had my own ideas of what family was. What I seen on TV or people that I lived with, I watched how they treated each other. You know, I watched, I was in a home with my aunt and uncle, and they were abusive, so I watched a lot of fighting going on there. I seen a lot of cheating with my mom, and, you know, cheating on her boyfriend, cheating on her husband, and I seen a lot of different stuff. So, you know, I'm like, you seen these things as a kid, like, man, that's not healthy. I know now that's not healthy, and that's not something great to look at. So, looking at healthy family relationships. You know, a healthy family is one in which each person has strong feelings of value and worth to the other members. Feelings are expressed. Last couple of weeks we talked about feelings. We talked about our own feelings, you know, and trying to express those and recognize those. You know, why do I feel this way? You know, why do I feel anxiety when I come home? You know, or why do I feel stressed when I'm about to walk through the door? You know, or, you know, sometimes we might not even feel those things. We might be coming home feeling great, but we don't know what's going on in the house while we're gone. Mm-hmm. You come in and smile and laugh and you walk in, and somebody that you love can be sitting in there crying. You know, and it's like, what do you do? I mean, if you have feelings, or if you've never really showed compassion to somebody, it's like, how do you show comfort if you've never comforted before? You know, how do you sit down next to somebody, put your arm around them and ask them if they're okay? And they might not even want you to put your arm around them. Because we don't know the situation or what's going on. We can sit close and talk and kind of see what's going on. But, you know, we want to express feelings. Feelings are expressed. Communication is honest and it's direct. And individuality is encouraged. So the family feels a positive and optimistic connection to one another and to society. So all families have challenges. I believe that. Every family has challenges. You know, and they experience problems at times. We're all going to experience those. So unhealthy families can change. Unhealthy families can change. I believe that. So taking these steps can make it happen. So step one is just show your family you care. How do you do that? How you show somebody that you care for them? I mean, is it gifts? Is it walking through with a flower? Is it saying, hey, hi, how are you doing, honey? You know, how do you show somebody that you care for them? You know, it's important. You know, I mean, I show people that I care through my words, through affection, hugging, come home, kiss on the cheek maybe. How are you? I love you. I missed you today. I mean, that's me now, not, you know, back in the days, I probably just walked through the door, kicked off my shoes, and did whatever I was going to do, you know. I think back to those days, though, too. Don't get me wrong. I go back to, like, man, I can't believe I was that way.
The thing is, change is possible. My dad left when I was in the third grade. Never saw him for 24 years. No phone calls, no nothing. My mom worked from 9 o'clock at night at college as a janitor till 6 in the morning. So there was, and then we'd be gone to school, so there was never no connection there, not much communication and stuff. But at the age of 24, I turned my life around. My wife was the youngest of eight. Brother's been to jail, craziness. I got brothers in and out of jail, died of overdose. I've done their funeral. So I had a lot of craziness. But what I did, I made up my mind, is this all changing? And so because we had no communication growing up as a family, even one of us, we determined we're going to communicate and work together. We're going to teach our children to communicate. And we're going to make it a goal. Just because you didn't have it doesn't mean you can't get it.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And my goal was I didn't want my children to be raised how I was, which means I had to make some changes. Now, I had to learn to communicate. That wasn't something, and all kinds of other things we had to learn. But we made some goals. I believe you've got to set some goals. Where do you want to go? What do you want for your children? You know, that dinner table was important to us. That's where we talked. We never allowed a negative
thing to be brought up at the dinner table. Let's say they got in trouble at school. We dealt with that away from the table. We wanted that table to be somewhere they could open up and talk about if they got bullied that day or something went on. See what I'm saying? You got to construct it. You got to put it together. You got to really, okay, what's this going to take? And how can we make this different? I'm actually working on the third generational change. It was my wife and I, then it was my children. Now I'm working on being a good grandpa. Now, there was no grandpas in our life, not in my life, not in my children's life. It's never been there, okay? So just because you don't have it doesn't mean you can't give it. It just becomes a goal, and you start working on it, and you focus on that. So realize, no matter what you came from, where are you going to go from here? Life is what you make out of it, not what happened to you, because we all got a sad story in here. So I'm not going to live in my sad story. I'm going to build my life moving forward. And I think that's what you have to look at. I start setting some goals. What am I going to do? So you can make the change no matter how crazy it was back there. You determine today, okay, this is what I'm going to start setting some goals. And we're going to start working on this. We're going to start working on that. And you watch pretty soon things start turning corners. Things start are different.
And it will. It's a process. Like I say, I just have things I worked on today. I'm here 3 years down the line now, and I'm still working on things and putting things in motion and communicating. I used to be really, I guess you guys be passive when it came to women. I kind of kept to myself because I'm like, man, I can't punch this girl's lights out, you know? So sometimes I'm just like, man, I get so frustrated, and I'm like, I just want to walk away. And now I've learned to communicate, you know? Okay, this is what I'm feeling right now. So be honest with me. Be honest and direct in your communication. You know, men, women, just be honest and direct in that. You know, let's share, you know, have some honesty there and say what we need to say without being harsh. You know, so also recognize that all change is self-change. All change is self-change. We're going to change things about ourselves, things that we used to do, things that we used to be, you know, ways that we used to think. So all change starts here, self-change. Starts here, you know, you'll start to see it, and people will see it and start to say, hey, but there's something different about you until you've changed, you know? And so also listen to your family members, you know? Listen to them, they're your family. And you say you love them, you do anything for them, listening shouldn't be that hard, you know? Like, it can be difficult. Being a good listener can be hard,
right?
You know, if you're not making eye contact with somebody and, you know, you're like this, and I hear you. No. I hear you. That's not a good listener.
Not at all.
That is not a good listener. I'm guilty of it. I know. So respect each family member as an individual. They're their own person. Respect them. Restore trust by demonstrating that you can be trusted and by building trust with members of your family. Just build that trust, you know. I mean, some of us have damaged trust. We can rebuild it, you know, it can be worked on. So provide support and encouragement to family members who wish to change in positive ways. What does that mean? Provide support and encouragement to a family member who's in a situation, could be like this, and you see that they're trying to change, support them in it. You know, saying, I don't know why you're doing those stupid classes, you're not going to change. That's not support. I don't know why you go sit in those classes with that guy. And
what you crave, you get more of. What you yell, rant, rave,
right?
But what you crave people for, what they're doing, how they're making that change, they'll work harder to make the changes come full circle. What you crave, you get more of.
Right.
Now that's not how we grew up. But it's something, again, we had to learn. Just cussing people and screaming at them, they're not going to try harder and do better. But if we praise them, they'll try harder and do better.
Mm-hmm. Keep up the good work.
Yeah.
Go for it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, you know. Sometimes what we say to ourselves, too. Well, I don't know why I go to stupid class every Monday night. I don't know.
What a waste of time.
Yeah, what a waste of time, man. You know, and those are just things we start to say to ourselves. So I'm almost finished here. So show patience. And consistency. Patience and consistency. Remember that change is a process, it's not an event. Mm-hmm.
A real change takes time. Put value in behaviors, not in promises. Yours and others. So forgive family members for past mistakes. Does anybody here got any questions tonight? You guys enjoy? I don't.